There he is, Stephen Brunt. Good to talk to you. How have you been?
I'm very well. Send us some of that rain, by the way.
Man,
we're a little parched. It hasn't rained here, and it isn't going to rain here forever. And it's hot as heck. So we'll take a little bit of yours if that's okay.
Well, I've heard the same thing. Even like Manitoba, where they're terribly dry, and we have been getting rain, serious rain. It seems like every 4 days. We're on the other end of that, but
we'll spread it out then. Okay. Well, it's good for the fishing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see the photo you've sent. It looks like you've gotten some sun. You're very tanned. You're very happy. Look at you with you got your hands full in this photo. Very nice.
Yeah, I thought I would send a little.
Well, yeah.
A little fish photo. It's always good to do that. You know, I got out onto the river, got into the sunshine, got out from my bubble with taking all precautions, following all rules in a socially distanced way. I got a few days on the river. It was excellent. Very good kind of emotional, psychological therapy.
I guess. So is that nearby where you live, or was it a bit of a trip, or what were you looking at?
It was a bit of a drive. So I have been fishing near where I lived, like, constantly since April, because, again, it's a good thing in these weird times. But my son and I actually ventured out a little bit and got on the road, which I got to tell you was a strange experience. Again, this wasn't anything, too far afield, and it didn't involve getting in a plane or anything. But as we emerge, as we begin to try and resume our lives around what we're dealing with, because, minus what we're dealing with could take a while. It's a very strange thing to be a tourist now, like sort of a tourist. Like, we had to stop in a hotel one night on the way to the place we went, and stuff's open.
Mm-hmm.
Here now, and I was in the province of Quebec. Stuff's open. Hotels are open, but behind plastic plexiglass screens and locked in your room, and fishing guides with masks on and all kinds of stuff. It's a kind of a surreal version of what we used to be doing, but I got to tell you though, it does feel good. I know people may be reluctant to get out, and I say this: be responsible, follow the rules, take the precautions. But to emerge from the cocoon for a little while and live felt really good. So I highly recommend it, with all of the asterisks attached.
It is a weird thing where you get out and you travel and you feel good in a way that you're supporting restaurants and businesses. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you get the feeling like, actually, they don't want you there. You feel like maybe you're doing a good thing by supporting people. It's like, maybe they don't want you after all. I don't know. It's such a weird time right now.
Yeah, there is a bit of that, this would be my first week out in Newfoundland, where I normally spend the summer, right? We can't go there right now. They are now humming and hawing about allowing people from other, well, they're going to allow people from the Atlantic provinces in starting next week, and then maybe the rest of Canada in the middle of July. But I was just reading some stuff from there, and tourism's the second biggest industry, the third biggest industry in the province. But people there are very, it's not like everybody's saying, please come here and spend money. A lot of people are saying, don't come here. We don't want you here. We've got this thing under control. There's so much fear out there, so much trepidation out there. And, trying to balance the supporting businesses, keeping the economy rolling, supporting the, tourism, which is a big part of the, where you guys are as well. It's unnecessary. And at the same time, being kind of afraid of the people coming, afraid of visitors. Locking this thing down, I don't want to go too far down the old COVID rabbit hole today, because Lord knows I've spent the last 4 months talking about this on radio.
Mm-hmm.
But locking people down is kind of simple and straightforward, saying, don't leave your house, be scared, this is dangerous, this could get worse. And they did a great job of that, by and large. They scared the bejesus out of everybody, and that was a good thing to do. But coaxing people back out of their houses and saying, it's time to live a little bit because we need to resume, and this isn't going to disappear miraculously, so we're going to have to kind of work around this for some time, and we have to kind of get used to it in a good, responsible way. That's really hard. It's going to be really hard, and I I think we're going to have a lot of, everybody's going to have a lot of uncomfortable experiences, you know, heading towards the day when, you know, imagine sitting in a crowd, you know, imagine being in a crowd at a sporting event or being in a crowd at a concert with people on either side of you. That is going to be the first time it happens, and I don't know when that's going to be.
Yeah.
We're all going to be kind of looking over shoulder, looking at the people next to us and saying, are you the enemy? This is a very, very tricky dance. And of course, you know, like there's no, I don't believe they sent out instructions about how to do this. Everybody, even people way smarter than us, hard to imagine, are struggling.
Hard to imagine, you know, by the way. Hard.
Yeah, it is very hard to imagine, right? But yeah, I feel like everybody's trying to figure this out. It's you know, and we're watching this, the microcosm of this in sport. Like, how do you resume? What's appropriate? How do you feel about hosting a team in your city? How do you feel about watching games on TV with no fans? And all of this stuff for which, you know, like I say, there's no manual. We're all kind of tiptoeing around.
Wanted to ask you about what your read is with the Blue Jays. They are waiting word. It looks as though like things are favorable for a Toronto situation where they can have training camp and play games. I know your cohort, Jeff Blair, yesterday was saying maybe we overestimate, or I forget what his terminology was, but he said this could be easier than everybody thinks, where you're on private planes, you have your own buses. Mm-hmm. Certainly in Toronto, you've got a hotel attached to the stadium. This can be done, and probably for the Blue Jays at least, a little easier than people might think. Do you agree with them?
Yeah, I do. You know, Blair and I are on the same page on this one, and we have been from the beginning. Like there's stuff to be worried about. Obviously, but if you actually kind of, and I think, you know, the initial reaction was, well, we can't, you know, look, all these baseball players are going to come in from the States. The States is a bleep show right now, especially Florida where they are. How can we let these people across our borders when we're not letting people go across the border for other reasons? You know, although there's lots of people going across the border for commerce, thank God, you know, I'm glad the trucks are still rolling, and, you know, hats off to the guys who are driving them, the men and women who are driving those trucks. But if you actually understand how professional sports teams travel, you know, it's not like you and me, surprisingly. You know, they'll fly on a private plane, private jet, they'll land in an airport, probably not the big airport in Toronto, but one of the airports around the city. Generally, that's what they do. They roll a bus up to the plane, they put the guys on the bus, they drive to the hotel. In the case of the Blue Jays and the Rogers Center, the hotel is literally part of the building, part of the stadium. They will have the hotel to themselves, I presume, and they go in, they check in, and to go to their place of work, they get on an elevator and go down to level zero, and the field and the clubhouses are right there. You know, they literally, it's in terms of kind of a bubble situation, you couldn't have one that's simpler, and I think that's the case that the Jays have made. It sounds like the province has already signed off on it. They are waiting for the feds to sign off on it, but it's not... Yeah, look, I don't see the public risk, and in terms of the public reward, like, it's not like anybody's going to be able to go to the games, and even from a media point of view, it's not like we're going to be able to go to the stadium and interview guys. I don't think that's going to be an option, but it'll create a little bit of economic activity. There will be money spent that wouldn't be spent otherwise. The hotel will be partially full rather than being completely empty, and you know, from the Jays' point of view, you can understand why they want to be here. You know, like there's the reason, there's the COVID reason, like where their home base in Dunedin right now is right in the middle of a pretty epic breakout in the outbreak in the state of Florida. Yeah, the other part is, and this goes for the NHL and where they wind up with the hubs, but like let's not forget it's a 70-cent dollar. So yeah. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, that's just the way it is. And if I was in business, and I would rather pay for things in Canadian currency than in American currency right now. So they would, you know, there's a pretty significant money advantage. And if there's no, like if it is determined that there is no extraordinary public health risk, and I, again, from my point of view, and the same with Blair, I don't see it, why not? You know, why not? It's not going to, you know, help morale. It's not going to change anything for fans. It's not going to, watching a game on TV from the Rogers Center is going to be the same as watching a game on TV from the stadium in Dunedin or from Tampa or wherever they wound up playing down there. But that little bit of economic activity, and I don't really have a strong kind of counter argument. I know some people do. I know some people say, no, don't let them in. It's not worth it. No risk is worth it. But again, I would argue that where we're headed now is into a life of managing risk, not eliminating risk. And that's, you know, look, that's what we do every day, right? Like, you walk out the door every day and don't think about the things that could happen to you. But there are many things that could happen to you. You know, now add a big one to the list that of which we are extraordinarily aware, that we think about way more about whether we're going to get hit by a bus on the way to the the office, or, you know, something like that, which, you know, is almost as likely. And this is our world. It's going to be about managing risk, and I think that's a manageable risk and an acceptable risk. But, you know, I'm one vote.
So with Doug Ford kind of giving, it looks like there's a bit of a green light for the Blue Jays here. Does that also, do you think that impacts the NHL in Toronto as far as a hub city and their obviously their pursuit of being a hub city?
Yeah, I think Ford's all for it. You know, like, I think the province, the provincial government and the city are all for the hub city. They're gung-ho about it. It's just, I think it's the feds that are going to have to, you know, and the feds seem to have signed off. I think they're negotiating, I'd say, all for it, but doing some of what BC did, which eventually saw that discussion break down, kind of dealing with the fine points. And obviously, a hub city, you're talking about more players, more venues, not necessarily out in the community more, but, you know, they're not going to all be living in hotels attached to arenas. They are going to have to get from point A to point B, and it's over a longer period of time. Whereas even if the Jays play the regular season at home, you're talking about, you know, five or six games at a time, and then, you know, then it changes over. So, I think it's going to, I think we're going to end up with two Canadian hub cities.
And, is that right?
You know, for, yeah, I kind of, well, there's a real good business argument again from the NHL's point of view. And there's a pretty good public health argument right now that, you know, that Alberta and Ontario, the two candidates left, are in way better shape than Nevada or anywhere else in the United States. I think that if the NHL got its way, they would have both hubs in Canada. You know, it just, from their point of view, you've got a very, you know, state-of-the-art arena in Edmonton. You've got a very good arena in Toronto. You've got enough hotel rooms within, you know, easy distance of those arenas. You've got great television production facilities in both places. Like, that's kind of, those are the, that's what you need. I think if the NHL had its preference right now, that's what they would do, that they would play in Toronto and Edmonton. Now, again, discussions could break down in one of those two places, as it did in BC. But I don't think there's any real reason for the NHL to insist that one of the hubs be in the States right now. It honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense on any level.
So is that the players pushing Vegas, Steven, or is it the league? Because we keep hearing the marriage to Vegas. I mean, I'm with you on the health and safety front, but it just seems like from whatever report you get, whether it was 3 weeks ago or now, they can't get away from Vegas. They seem to be married to Vegas.
Well, it's, you know, like there are aspects of Vegas that are, you know, really, like, again, if you know where the arena is there, and you know how many hotel rooms surround it, it's, you know, it's also dead simple, right? It's very, very easy to imagine. You just, you know, take any one of the five hotels that are within 100 yards of that. They're massive hotels that are within 100 yards of that state, that arena. You know, it's a piece of cake. But again, I think some of that thinking goes back to a time when, you know, things seemed to be going in the right direction in the States, and probably there was an idea that you could, that the, you know, from a player point of view and from a league point of view, that the guys maybe could live a little bit too. You know, that, you know, maybe they could get out a little bit in a, you know, somewhat free situation. I don't know how free it is in Vegas, in Nevada right now, but, you know, just so much about the public health situation in the United States seems, you know, random. You know, like, I'm not sure what the rules are place to place, and obviously the numbers are spiking just about everywhere in the U.S. right now. It seems out of control. I'm not sure as a player, you know, Las Vegas at, you know, 105 degree Las Vegas, 105 degree Fahrenheit Las Vegas, without being able to go and do the things that are, you know, that people like to do in Las Vegas, or I'm not sure how attractive that would really be. So I've got no insider knowledge here, and I'm like you, like everybody said, okay, they're locked in Vegas now, they're trying to find site two. But if I honestly think from a league point of view, it would make way more sense right now to hunker down in Canada, where You know, like, again, we're not, it's not time to be smug about this, but it does mm-hmm. feel like we have our act together a bit more than our great Southern neighbors do.
What do you make of the handful of major leaguers and even NBA players who have opted out? We don't know what the story is in the NHL, but, you know, of course, Ian Desmond on Instagram was kind of leading the way yesterday.
I get it, you know, and I think that they had to, like, obviously you couldn't frog march guys back and say you have to play. This is a special situation. You know, I know they have contracts, but this is a very special situation, and I think in order to get the players to buy in any on any level, they had to allow that, to open that door. And I don't know how many guys are going to do it, you know. It's going to be very specific in terms of, you know, players' financial needs, where they are in their career, what their health situation might be, what their family's health situation might be. I don't expect it to be a huge number of players that opt out, because, you know, in a lot of ways, the players coming back to compete are going to be the most highly monitored and safest people in society. You know, they're going to be tested constantly. They're going to have medical personnel hovering around them all the time. They're going to be safer than you and me going to the grocery store. So, but like, there's other reasons why a player might not, you know, feel comfortable with it. I think that, but, you know, and again, I think the thing, maybe we kind of treat this stuff in North America, like our leagues, as though this is the beginning of this and this is new and it's not, holy smokes, what will happen. But like, it's worth looking at, you know, the Bundesliga just wrapped up their season in Germany and got through it, and they had a few positive tests, but essentially got through it without incident. The players lived at home and slept in their own beds. The Premiership in England is rolling. Soccer in Spain and Italy, where they were both really, really badly hit, is up and running. Korean baseball is running. Japanese baseball is running. Taiwanese baseball has been running. The UFC continues to put shows on. There's boxing on the go. There's golf. There's a bit of tennis. Like, it's happening. So, and it's happened, you know, I say not without positive tests, because you're going to have positive tests. We're going to have positive tests in the world. That's, you know, in any group of the population, that's just the deal. But you can take precautions and you can deal with it when it arises. And, you know, look, bad things can happen here. There are bad outcomes potentially, but in general, for fit, young, healthy people in their 20s and early 30s, it's not a death sentence if you get a positive test. It doesn't even mean you'll get sick. So, that sounds kind of cold-hearted, but I think you kind of have to weigh the possibilities. And the thing I have no time for, to be honest, are people wringing in their hands about professional athletes and how dangerous it might be for them to come back, while not wringing their hands about people working in meat processing plants, or not wringing their hands about people, migrant farm workers in Ontario, who are, you know, there's been a terrible outbreak here among migrant farm workers, or not wringing their hands about people in long-term care homes, or not looking around at the people who get us our food and drive us around and are not making the kind of money these guys make. So, concern's good and all of that, but let's spread it around a little bit mm-hmm. and look at the people who, you know, are taken, really rolling the dice with their lives because they've been forced to, or they have to, in order to put food on their plates and support their families, and who do not live the protected lives and are not going to be tested four times a day like, you know, hockey players and baseball players. So there's my speech.
Before I let you go, Stephen, I just wanted to ask you just kind of your thoughts and impressions. What we did hear out of Major League Baseball, the universal DH is going to come in. So for the first time in National League history, there will be a designated hitter. Extra innings, you start with a runner on second, and relief pitchers are going to have to face at least three batters. You can't just, it's taking the specialty mm-hmm. aspect of it away a little bit. I guess thoughts on any or all?
Yeah, the three batter thing was going to happen anyway this year. So that's going to change strategy. You know, it's kind of eliminated, for instance, the, you know, the loogie, the left-handed specialist, the guy who comes in for one guy.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to come in for three, and to end an inning. The universal DH is born of this crisis, but it was coming, and I don't think we'll ever see a pitcher hit in baseball again. The runner starting a second base thing, I don't know about that, if that will be, you know, like, you know, here's the thing. We're going to you know, once this is over, once baseball has whatever kind of season it's going to have, there's one more year left on the collective agreement, and then then God knows what's going to happen. So many of these things, some of these things will be not the three batter rule, because that's already been adopted, but some of this stuff, pace of play stuff, is going to be on the table for negotiation. And you know, we all kind of are thinking this is going to be an ugly negotiation that may not culminate, that may culminate in a lockout before the 2022 season. Something to look forward to. But you know, I think you're going to see, you know, weirdly enough, you're going to see this, like everything's on the table right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of like, what the hell, let's try it. It's like, we're not playing 162. Let's try stuff. And some of that stuff, like, again, some of that stuff will stick. It's, you know, it's been discussed forever. Like the universal DH has been discussed forever. Finding ways to shorten games, so the runner at second base in extra innings, that's been discussed. It's been tried in the minor leagues. It's been tried in spring training. Pitch clocks are the other thing. Now, they're not bringing that in this year, but I think this is going to be a moment where all sports might emerge from it and say, hey, you know that weird thing we tried during that pandemic season? That kind of makes sense. Why don't we just keep it? I think that's we're gonna see a fair bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not gonna try it now, when are you gonna try it?
Yeah, what the heck, right? And like there's gotta be enough asterisks to go around. Like it's not so why not add
just handing them out?
Yeah. Just load them up. How many did you get? Well, I got the batting title and the Cy Young somehow at the same time. It's weird. What a weird year it was. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's what a weird year it was, and what a weird year it is, my friend.
Good to have you back, man. Have a great Canada Day.
Thank you. Same to you guys.